All right, welcome back everyone to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be diving into a really, really interesting area of contract law. And that is, what happens when negotiations get kind of tough, like things aren't going perfectly smooth in hammering out a deal, but you haven't quite crossed that line into, okay, this deal is off. Like, where's that dividing line?
Yeah, where does it cross from hard bargaining into an actual breach of contracts?
Exactly. And we're going to be looking at this, we're going to be unpacking this, looking at a specific case. And this case is Thermo Electron Corporation v. Chiavone Construction Company. And I think this is just a really fantastic example.
Yeah, it's a really insightful case.
Yeah, just a really good illustration of how the courts sort of, navigate this. Because it's tricky, and I think it's something that anyone, I mean, even if you're not, a high-powered deal maker, anyone that's ever been involved in any kind of agreement, especially if there's money on the line.
Absolutely, it's
You
essential.
know, I mean, this is something that can really come up. So,
Yeah.
the real issue here is that, a lot of times you have an initial understanding
Right.
and then, things kind of evolve,
Yeah.
right, as you're hammering out the details.
Absolutely.
So, what we're going to be looking at today is when does proposing changes or even suggesting, a way out, like an exit strategy
Yes.
during
Right,
negotiations,
right.
when does that actually signal you're not going to go through with the original deal?
Exactly.
And then if that's the case, like if the deal does fall apart in that way, how do courts assess lost profits?
Yeah.
Because that's tricky too.
You're right.
It is.
It is.
So let's go back to the beginning, way back in 1986. Can you kind of lay out the initial understanding between these two companies, Thermo Electron and S&S?
Sure. So this all started back in January of 86. And at that time, you had S&S, which is actually Chiavone Construction Company.
Okay.
They agreed to sell a garbage incineration and electricity generation project
Okay.
to Thermo Electron, and the agreed price was $1 million.
Okay, so $1 million. Garbage, incineration, electricity generation. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, essentially, this was a facility that was going to burn garbage
Okay.
and use that heat to generate electricity.
Okay. All right. So that's the deal. And SNS was building this.
Well, they were either building it or had it built, but they were going to sell the whole project to Thermo.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So they had this project and they were going to sell it to Thermo for $1 million.
Right. But it wasn't just like, here you go. You
Right.
know, there were certain conditions that had to be met
Okay.
before Thermo would actually make these payments.
Okay, and so these conditions, I mean, these involve some pretty important stuff, right?
They did. So the first payment, which was only $100,000
Right.
of that million, it was contingent on seven different things being done.
Okay.
But probably the most important was to make sure that the permits for the project could actually be transferred over to Thermo.
Okay.
Because if you can't operate it legally, it's not worth
Not
much.
worth much, exactly.
Right.
Right. Okay, so and then the other 900,000 was tied to what?
Right. So that was tied to five other conditions. And again, one of the main ones was actually assigning those permits over to Thermo.
Okay, all right. So it sounds like from the very beginning, these permits were a key aspect of the deal.
They absolutely were, yes.
And am I correct that these permits then quickly became a source of disagreement?
They did, yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. Like what happened? What was the problem with these permits?
Right. So, over the next couple of months, after this initial agreement, as
Yeah.
everybody's starting to work out the details, it became clear that there were challenges involved in transferring these permits.
Okay.
And this was probably something that, you know, could have been, you know, looked into more carefully at the beginning.
Right.
But in any case, it was a problem now. And so this led to a lot more discussion and several different proposals going back and forth.
So thermos are trying to figure out, how do we get these permits?
Right, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
And is it even going to be possible?
Okay. All right. And so during this time, while they're trying to figure out this regulatory hurdle,
Right.
thermo starts to propose some alternative approaches,
They
right?
do,
So
yes.
tell me about those.
So during these 2 months, they put together several different draft agreements. And some of these had terms that differed from that original January agreement.
Okay.
And importantly, some of them actually included an option for Thermo to pull out of the deal.
Okay, so they're saying, look, if if this doesn't work out, if we can't figure out a way to make these permits work, we might have to walk away.
Exactly.
Okay. So they're kind of putting, you know, some feelers out there, you know, trying to see what's possible.
Right.
So here's the, you know, the legal question.
Right.
Did these proposals, the fact that they're putting these out there, did these demonstrate that they no longer had any intention of going through with the original deal?
That's exactly the question the court had to consider.
Oh.
Because, you know, just because you're proposing changes or even suggesting ways out of the deal, that doesn't automatically mean you're definitively saying, I'm not doing this anymore.
Okay, so this is where the idea of repudiation comes in, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, for our listeners, maybe some of whom aren't you know, super familiar with contract law.
Right.
Repudiation basically means one party saying, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Right, right, right. That's the simplified version, yeah.
Okay, okay. And so the question is, did Thermo's actions here actually amount to that?
Precisely.
Okay. Now, meanwhile, SNS is also, they're also facing their own pressures, right?
They are, yes.
I mean, especially around these permits.
Right.
Right. Tell me about that.
Right. So SNS was concerned that if this didn't move forward in a timely manner, their permits might actually expire.
Okay.
And of course, if you don't have the permits, the project's worthless.
Worthless, yeah.
So around mid-March, they started talking to another company.
Okay.
Montanay International.
Okay.
So they're basically looking for a backup plan here in case this deal with Thermo falls apart.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. They're hedging their bets.
Right.
Okay. So this then leads to, you know, SNS sending a letter to Thermo. Right?
They do. Yeah.
And this isn't just, hey, how's it going? This is pretty serious.
It's a serious letter, yes.
Okay. So what does SNS say in this letter?
So on March 17th, they send this letter to Thermo, and basically they demand that the deal be closed by March 25th.
Okay. So they're giving them a hard deadline.
Right. They're saying, look, we need to know whether you're in or out.
Put up or shut up. Okay. All right. So March 25th is approaching.
Yeah.
You know, are they able to work out their differences by this point?
So they keep negotiating right up until the deadline, but on March 24th.
Okay, so the day before.
The day before the deadline, yeah.
Okay.
They hit an impasse, so they can't agree on the terms.
Okay.
But, and this is interesting, at the very end of that meeting, even though they've reached an impasse, Thermo puts another proposal on the table.
Wow. Okay, so even down to the wire, they're still trying to make it work.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, it sounds like the deal with Thermo is, you know, pretty much dead at this point.
Right.
So SNS doesn't waste any time finalizing things with Montanay. Right?
No, they don't. So in mid-May, just a couple months later, they sell the project to Montanay.
Okay. All right. And this is where it gets juicy,
yeah.
Right? Because this sale to Montanay, it turns out to be hugely profitable. Okay, so what happens?
Okay, so they sell it in mid-May. Within 7 months, Montanay turns around and sells it again.
Okay.
For a profit of $1.85 million.
So they basically doubled their money.
Yeah.
In 7 months. Wow. Okay, so I'm guessing Thermo sees this.
Right.
And they are not happy.
Not happy. So Thermo sues SNS for breach of contract.
Okay.
Their argument is, you had no right to go and sell this to Montanay. We had a deal.
Right. You breached the contract.
You breached the contract.
So what happens? What's the initial outcome of the lawsuit?
So the district court actually rules in favor of Thermo Electron.
Okay.
But then SNS appeals. And the First Circuit Court of Appeals looks at this and says, you know, we need a little more detail here on why you made this decision.
Okay.
So they send it back to the district court for more findings.
Okay. All right. So the district court has to take a second look, you know, look at things a little more closely.
Right.
Do they change their mind?
They don't.
Okay.
So they issue a new opinion and they stand by their original conclusion.
Okay.
SNS breached the contract.
And then I assume this gets appealed again.
It does. Goes back up to the First Circuit.
Okay.
And so now the First Circuit's got to wrestle with this question of, did Thermo Electron's actions during these negotiations, you know, proposing changes, delays, did that amount to a repudiation?
Okay.
Or an unreasonable delay, which would have allowed SNS to say, okay, we're out of here. We can go sell this to somebody else.
Right. Because if Thermo was the one who was essentially breaking the contract.
Right.
Then SNS would be free to go do whatever they wanted.
Exactly.
All right. So what did the First Circuit, what did they say?
Well, they ultimately agreed with the district court.
Right.
That SNS did breach the contract.
Okay.
They were not persuaded by SNS's arguments.
Okay.
That Thermo had abandoned the contract, or that they had a right to terminate the contract because of Thermo's delays.
Okay. And what was the reasoning? Why did they come to that conclusion?
Well, they said, when you look at everything, all the circumstances, you know, it's reasonable to view Thermo's actions as hard bargaining.
Okay.
Not an outright refusal to perform.
Okay.
You know, they're proposing changes, sure.
Yeah.
But they're not saying, we will only do the deal if you agree to these changes.
Okay. Okay. So there's a difference between suggesting something.
Right.
And demanding it.
And demanding it. Exactly. Okay. Okay.
All right. So was there anything specific that Chief Judge Breyer, I believe it's Chief Judge Breyer who wrote the opinion. Was there anything specific that he said in that opinion that kind of captures this idea?
Yes. So he said, a mere request for a change in the terms or a request for cancellation of the contract is not in itself enough to constitute a repudiation.
Okay.
It has to be more definite. You have to say, I'm not doing this.
Right.
Not, I'm having second thoughts.
Okay.
Not, would you consider this change?
Okay. Okay. All right. So the court's saying, you know, just exploring different possibilities doesn't mean you're out of the deal.
Exactly.
Okay. Was there anything else that they considered in coming to this decision?
Yeah. Another key thing was that Thermo continued negotiating even after the deadline had passed.
Okay.
Which indicates they're still trying to make something work.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, you know, this is a great example, I think, of how contract law can be really nuanced.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of judgment involved, you know, as to what crosses that line.
Right. It's not black and white.
Yeah. Okay. So the court ultimately sides with Thermo.
Right.
They say SNS breached the contract. Now, let's get to the money part.
Okay.
You know, how did the court come up with that $1.85 million damages figure?
Well, remember how Montanay flipped that project and made a huge profit?
Oh, yeah.
So the First Circuit upheld that $1.85 million award.
Okay.
And they specifically based it on that profit that Montanay made.
Okay. Because that's what Thermo
did. What Thermo lost out on, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I do have to ask, you know, because Thermo's initial purchase price was $1 million.
Right.
And Montanay ultimately sold it for quite a bit more than that.
Yeah.
So why did they use Montanay's profit as the measure?
Well, they recognize that there might be some differences in the specific deals. You know, maybe Montanay acquired some additional rights, mm-hmm. but they considered it, you know, close enough.
Okay.
A permissible rough comparison is how they put it.
Okay. Okay.
Because the law doesn't require absolute mathematical certainty when it comes to damages.
Okay. So it's got to be reasonable.
It's reasonable.
But it doesn't have to be, you know, down to the penny.
Right.
Yeah.
And the court actually pointed out a really important principle here.
Okay.
They said doubts when it comes to calculating damages are generally resolved against the party in breach.
Oh, okay. So SNS is the one that created this mess, essentially.
Exactly.
So they can't really complain that the damages are, you know, maybe a little fuzzy.
Right. Exactly. If they hadn't breached, there wouldn't be any fuzziness.
Okay.
It would be very clear what the damages were.
Okay. All right. So let's kind of wrap things up here. You know, we've gone pretty deep into this case, and I really appreciate you laying it all out for us.
My pleasure.
So if we're, you know, if our listeners are out there, you know, thinking about this case, thinking about the implications, what are the really important takeaways?
Well, I think there are a few things to keep in mind.
Okay.
One is that just because you're proposing changes during a contract negotiation, even big changes, that doesn't automatically mean you're repudiating the contract.
Okay.
The key is, do you intend to fulfill the original agreement or not?
Okay. So it really all comes down to intent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's important to look at everything, all the communications, the overall context of the negotiations,
okay,
to figure out what that intent is.
Okay.
And another important point is that courts tend to defer to the trial court's findings of fact.
Okay.
Especially when the evidence could be interpreted in more than one way. Okay. They're not going to second guess every little factual determination.
Okay.
And then finally, when it comes to damages, courts have some leeway.
Okay.
You know, especially when the breaching party, their actions have made it hard to figure out the exact amount of damages.
Right.
They're going to give the benefit of the doubt to the non-breaching party.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So thermoelectron Vichy Avon, I mean, it's a really great case to kind of illustrate
right.
this tricky balance
right.
between being tough in your negotiations.
Right.
But not going so far that you actually end up breaching the contract.
Exactly. You want to be assertive, but you also want to be careful.
Right. Yeah. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this is a good place to wrap things up. But I do want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Okay.
You know, in today's world, you know, everything's moving fast.
Right.
Deals are complicated.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be able to negotiate effectively. And sometimes that means being really tough.
Right.
But, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you balance that need to be assertive?
Right.
With not accidentally blowing up the whole deal.
Exactly.
Like, how do you thread that needle?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
And I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's about clear communication.
Absolutely.
It's about being very strategic in how you approach your negotiations.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, all of our listeners, regardless of where they are in their careers,
yeah,
that's something they can think about.
Absolutely.
So thanks again for joining us for this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See.